Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
Show,
they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit gon' be televised. Black power, be scared guys, that be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise. Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
You go busting your fist against a stone wall. You're not using your brain. That's what the white man wants you to do. Look at you. What makes you ashamed of being black?
Number love for you. You know how hard it is. No doubt. Being a woman, a black woman at that, in this white man's world. Sometimes we overlook the fact that we can ride hard in our cities. We don't be knowing the pain we be causing.
This white man's world.
This white man's world. I ain't saying I'm innocent at all.
In this white man's world.
This song, yeah. For all those times that I messed up, but we messed up.
Dear sister, got me twisted up in prison, I miss you. Crying, looking at my nieces and my nephews' picture. They say don't let this cool world get you. Kinda suspicious, swearing one day you might leave me for somebody that's richer. Rip the cap off the bottom, I take a sip and see tomorrow. Gotta make it if I have to beg a bottle. Beating love letters late night, locked down and quiet. If brothers don't receive they mail, best believe we ride. Eating Jack Mack, staring at the walls, inside of this cage where they captured all my ways and bonds. In time I learned a few lessons, never fall.
fall for riches. Apology to my true sisters, far from bitches. Help me raise my black nation, reparations to do. It's true, caught up in this world, I took advantage of you. Tell the babies how I love them, precious boys and girls, born black in this white man's world. And all I heard was, to my homie's head, died in his vest, shot him to death and left him bleeding for his family to see. I pass his casket, gently ask him, is there heaven for Jesus? My homeboy's doing life, his baby mama be stressing, shedding tears when her son finally asked that question. Where my daddy at? Mama, why we live so poor? Why you crying? Heard you late night to my bedroom door. Now do you love me, mama? Why they keep on calling me nigga? Get my weight up with my hate and pay him back when I'm bigger. It's still tucking in his jail cell, missing my block. Hearing brothers screaming all night, wishing they stop. Proud to be black, but while we act like we don't love ourselves. So look around, just suck, check your sense. Know what it means to be black, whether a man or girl, we still struggling. And it's white man's world.
We must fight for brotherhood. We must fight for brotherhood.
Direction and a blink of an eye. My time of wages made perfect. Cause I think I die. Not gonna cry, why should I care? Like we holding on the lost love that's no longer there. Can you please help me? God bless me, please keep my seeds healthy. Making all my enemies bleed while my G's wealthy. Hoping they bury me with ammunition, weed and shells. Just in case they trip in heaven, ain't no G's in hell. Sister, sorry for the pain that I caused your heart. I know I'll change if you help me, but don't fall. Peace to Lil Dasha, Lil Yummy and Kato. Too much for this cold world to take, ended up being fatal. Every woman in America, especially black, bear with me, can't you see that we under attack? I never meant to call drama to my sister and mama, hope we make it to a better time in this white man's world.
You're out of touch with reality. A few of you in a few smoke-filled rooms calling that the mainstream, while the masses of the people, white and black, red, yellow, and brown, poor and vulnerable, are suffering in this nation.
Forever, Garvey would never die. On my 90, the throne ready, let's take a ride. Tax won't fix me and don't choose a side. This is the path for the warriors. Seldom travel, yet still bad glorious. Black power represents us. You either rolling with Africa or against us.
To my thugs and gangsters, it's time to fight hard, cause our life is in danger. Stop practicing on each other and get the ones that's a gangster. It's time to link up and form one big army. Unite all of our numbers, get them people up off us. This whole thing designed to get you broke or you locked up. But we gon' tear it down because this world belongs to us. I say march, listen, step, rip, and come for the devil. Black dollar, keep the black dollar black. We were taught by master not to have each other back. Now we linking with each other, help each other stack, stack. Black pride, one nation, strong and black. That's what's down. See that jive that you seek, it ain't all that it seems. They tryna really let your black Wall Street dream. You gon' make it all happen like a king and a queen. But when you rep the culture, it ain't harder to see. We gon' march like Martin by the window like X. We gon' free our people by any means necessary. Queen Omega showed us that we're royalty. And garment sacks of bread and bars of boats to set us free. When I see one, what a step, rip and come to the devil. What the scene, pet the lies, you got lies with yourself. You the king, you the queen, you the people, you the rock. Tell the party, start a business, build a black and tie. They bring guns, they bring dope, alcohol to the hood. They want you to sell dope, killing ride for your fool. But they ain't bring no job, so people dying for the fool. It's Operation Us and we gon' operate on us. When I say march, you say step, rep and come to the death. You can see past they lies, you got knowledge yourself. Use a king, use a queen, to your people, use a savior. If you don't know your culture, come and let me activate ya.
I'm in New Orleans when the police told Marcus Garvey he couldn't speak to us and prevented him from coming to speak to us one night. We, of course, went in delegations and everything and raised such a ruckus that they had to let Marcus Garvey speak to us the next night. But when we went, I want you to hear me, when we went, we went determined that nothing would stop Marcus Garvey from speaking to us. Now, how do you do that? How do you go determined to keep the powers that be from preventing your leader from speaking to you? How do you do that? Well, I'll tell you how we did it. Every one of us, including myself, went armed. We went armed. I had two guns on me. I had one in my bosom and one in my pocket.
Black people are treated very much as the Vietnamese people or any other colonized people, because we're used, we're brutalized. The police in our community occupy our area, our community, and the foreign troop occupies territory. And the police are there not to, in our community, not to promote our welfare or for our security and our safety, but they're there to contain us, to brutalize us and murder us, because they have their orders to do so. And just as the soldiers in Vietnam have their orders to destroy the Vietnamese people. The police in our community couldn't possibly be there to protect our property, because we own no property. They couldn't possibly be there to see that we receive it.
When black people like me talk to the slaves, they didn't kill them. They sent some old house Negro along behind him to undo what he said. You have to read the history of slavery to understand this. There were two kinds of Negroes. There was that old house Negro and the field Negro. And the house Negro always looked out for his master. When the field Negroes got too much out of line, he held them back in check. He put them back on the plantation. The house Negro could afford to do that because he lived better than the field Negro. He ate better, he dressed better, and he lived in a better house. He lived right up next to his master in the attic or the basement. He ate the same food his master ate, and wore his same clothes, and he could talk just like his master, good diction. And he loved his master more than his master loved himself. That's why he didn't want his master hurt. If the master got sick, he'd say, "What's the matter, boss? We sick?" When the master's house caught a fire, he'd try and put the fire out. He didn't want his master's house burned. He never wanted his master's property threatened, and he was more defensive of it than the master was. That was the house Negro. But then you had some field Negroes who lived in huts, had nothing to lose. They wore the worst kind of clothes, they ate the worst food, and they caught hell. They felt the sting of the lash. They hated their master. Oh, yes, they did. If the master got sick, they prayed that the master died. If the master's house caught a fire, they prayed for a strong wind to come along. This was the difference between the two. And today you still have house Negroes and field Negroes. Yeah. I'm a field Negro. In order for you and me to devise some kind of method or strategy to offset some of the events or a repetition of the events that have taken place here in Los Angeles recently, we have to go to the root. We have to go to the cause. Dealing with the condition itself is not enough. And it is because of our effort toward getting straight to the root that people oftentimes think we are dealing in hate.
We are oppressed. We are exploited. We are downtrodden. We are denied not only civil rights, but even human rights. So the only way we're going to get some of this oppression and exploitation away from us or aside from us is come together against a common enemy. Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the color of your skin to such extent that you bleach to get like the white man? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips? Who taught you to hate yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet? Who taught you to hate your own kind? Who taught you to hate the race that you belong to? So much so that you don't want to be around each other. No, before you come asking Mr. Muhammad, does he teach hate, you should ask yourself, who taught you to hate being what God gave you? And I, for one, as a Muslim, believe that the white man is intelligent enough. If he were made to realize how black people really feel and how fed up we are without that old compromising sweet talk. Stop sweet talking it. Tell him how you feel. Tell him how, what kind of hell you've been catching, and let him know that if he's not ready to clean his house up, if he's not ready to clean his house up, he shouldn't have a house. It should catch on fire and burn down.
Dead, wrap the mantle of the red, the black and the green around me, for in the new life I shall rise up with God's grace and blessing to lead the millions up the heights and the triumph that you well know. Look for me in a world when there are a storm. Look for me all around you. For with God's grace, I shall come back with countless millions of black men and women who have died in America, those who have died in the West Indies, and those who have died in Africa to aid you in the fight for liberty, freedom, and life. Any leadership that teaches you to depend upon another race is a leadership that will enslave you. Any leadership that teaches you to depend upon another race is a leadership that will enslave. They gave leadership to our foreparents, and that leadership made them slaves. But we have decided to find a leadership of our own to make ourselves free men. Our great scholars have been passed through the colleges and universities, have thrown away the blessed record. Babylon did it.
Malcolm Garvey Huey.
Life was like a movie study. Malcolm Garvey Huey.
Life was like a movie study.
I organize. Everything I do's revolutionize. I build what's good for the whole damn hood. Study G's like these really think you should. I study Malcolm Garvey Huey. Malcolm Garvey Huey. Marcel Cody with the Uzi. Listening to Fela Kuti. I'm a goon with the machete. Especially if it's deli. Got the Santos for the Hexy to protect me. So respect me. This is heavy, legendary, revolutionary. My wifey, she resurrect me when they thought they had me buried. Took me out the cemetery. Now it's family over every. Cause that's all that's necessary to avoid the commissary. I'ma live for you five. So I stop getting high. If you know, then you recognize. It's that black and brown pride. It's the power of the mind. RBG, God divine. You can see through the lies if you can read between the lines. I live, I die. I organize everything I do, revolutionize. I build what's good for the whole damn hood. Study G's like these, really get you sure. Study Malcolm Garvey Huey,
Bungie, Bobby, Pac, and Dookie. Sitting by the door so you can say I'm acting spooky. Just like in the movie, son, you better pack your toolie. Niggas switch, be acting fruity, you'll be cracking like they pookie. Rather smoke a doobie than be burning and eluding. Bang, bang, pig shooting, we should blame Rudy Julie. Yanny for the camera, shine a white and nose candy. Let you banging on the system, you a gangster wearing panties. RBG, my family, from the Bronx to Miami. Police cannot stand me, Pacquiao like a Manny. Call me little Bobby Hutton, cause I'm first to push the button. Rappers don't be saying nothing to the system, we say fuck 'em. This is for Nahanda, mama C, mama Akua. All the real OGs, I'm a soldier, cause you told me study Malcolm Garvey Huey. Malcolm Garvey Huey, Malcolm Garvey Huey, young reporting in the duty.
sticky icky. Yours truly here for duty. Don DeVino, M.A. Uno. You know how we drop the jury. This is real, not a movie. Not Mickey, Donald, Goofy. I'm a soldier, I avoid a bitch nigga like the cootie.
School face in a hoodie.
Fresh pair of khakis. We could do this like we fam. I go to war like the Apache. For whatever, I stay ready. I learned that in Tallahassee. Baba Tune, they used to school me as a juvie. Skipping classes, never let the system use me. My duty is my passes. Watch the homies in your army. They don't always show they badges. Keep your family living healthy. Teach your children about they blackness. Teach your wifey how to use the ratchet. This shit is classic. Get your food, clothes, and shelter. Fuck the system, pimp it backwards. I ain't hating, I'm just saying. If you wanna be a rapper, study
Malcolm Garvey Huey.
Drew up the floor plans, told him where Fred Hampton's bed was, that what angle they had to shoot in order to kill him while he was asleep. Still walking the streets today, because you just want to hear speakers. You just want to wear your African tikis and sandals and dashikis and boobas and crowned and gowned to the ground, and you're red, you're black, and you're green. But when it comes time to stand up and strike a blow for freedom and independence, you ain't nowhere to be found. I got to say it. I got to say it. So during Reconstruction, white men got angry. And they moved on every black elected public official. And here we are, starting all over again. It says the 1965 Voting Rights Act, which resulted in a dramatic increase in the number of black elected officials at the federal, state, and local levels, that from 1965 to 1970, their number increased from 280 to 1,629. But as of 1993, the last year such figures were compiled, there were more than 8,000 black elected public officials. More than 8,000. But the condition of our people is terrible. More than 8,000 black elected public officials, and black people are still in the mud and the filth and the squalor of the white man's world. Poor, ragged, naked, hungry, and out of doors in the white man's world, and over 8,000 black elected public officials. Jesse Jackson now. OG Tom. Old Tom. Raising up a new Tom. Got Jesse Jackson Jr. now. Grooming him to be the new Tom. Put him in District 2 in Mel Reynolds' place. Instead of standing up for Mel Reynolds, fighting for Mel Reynolds. You say, well, he did wrong, so look what they did with white folks who did the same thing. Some white folks did worse. It's important to understand, brothers and sisters, what we're dealing with here. Donald Buzz Luckins, an Ohio Republican, served 9 days of a 30-day jail term in 1991 for having sex with a 16-year-old black girl. He also was ordered to participate in a program for sex offenders. But the cracker said, he argued that he could not have contributed to the delinquency of this child because she already was unruly, he said, when he had sex with her. Now this is a Republican from Ohio, 30 days in jail, and put him in a program. Mel Reynolds, much more than that. Republican Daniel Crane admitted having a sexual affair with a congressional page. His punishment was censure by the House of Representatives. They just talk rough to him. Would the gentleman from Illinois refrain from this kind of conduct? It is not becoming of the high office of the gentleman from Illinois. That's all he got. He had sex at least four times with the page, according to a report by the special counsel to the House Ethics Committee. It started after he met the 17-year-old and gave her a six-pack of beer and betted her on a basketball game. After he met her...
There's a difference between revolution and reform. Big difference. In reform, a man observing a foundation, observing a system, sees many problems. But he assumes that there's nothing wrong with the system. The foundation of the system for him is a good system. Thus, what he seeks to do is to change the building as best he can, but he wants to leave the foundation intact. Example, if I came to this building, it's Ackerman Hall, is it not? If I came to Ackerman Hall and I looked at the foundation was falling. It was just falling, couldn't possibly stand. If I were a reformist, I'd say, okay, put a piece of board over that. So we cover the foundation. We haven't touched it. And then I'll come here and say, put a window there. Put a door here. Put a frame here. Put two rooms where there used to be one. What I'm doing is reforming the system. I am trying to make it look different, but I'm keeping the same rotten foundation. You must understand that, because this country is full of reformists, black people notwithstanding. And these reformists have a tendency to deceive you, to let you believe that things are really being changed, when in fact the foundation has not been touched, and the longer it stays, the more rotten it becomes. The more rotten it becomes. A revolutionary comes into the building, observes Ackerman Hall, and says, looks at the foundation and said, hey, this foundation is filthy, it's rotten, it's corrupt, it must be torn up. A new one must be put in its place. Once he makes that decision, and once that theoretical decision which he's made is demonstrated actively in his day-to-day life, you have a revolutionary. Thus, a revolutionary is not someone who seeks to reform a system, he's someone who seeks to replace it. I'm a revolutionary. I'm not a reformist. I want the American system destroyed. It must be destroyed and has to be replaced. It has to be replaced. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Again, I'm not calling for revolution. I see it coming, and I want to be part of the solution. I don't want to be part of the problem. I've been the victim too long, so I want to be part of the solution. I am saying that all of us must opt for revolution. All of us must opt for revolution. Now, revolution is very scientific. There's nothing emotional about it. There's nothing emotional about it. President Sekou Touré, a wise and courageous African revolutionary, says that in revolution there is no sentimentality. There is none. Whether I like something or do not like something, it is scientifically determined for me, thus I must do it. So I have no sentiments involved in my work. I just have to do what I have to do, and I will do it the best way I can. Best way I can. Now, revolution, we said, follows scientific laws. If you come and you look at the foundation and you see the foundation is rotten and you say that you want to replace this foundation, you want a new system, you're asking for revolution. Because what you're saying is that you want another system where there is a system. And we know scientifically that no two things can occupy the same place at the same time. I mean, that's logic. So if you say that you're against capitalism and you want another system put in the place of capitalism, then all you're saying is that you want revolution, because capitalism and this other thing cannot occupy America at the same time. Only one will occupy it. Only one will be dominant.
My nigga, this is dedication. This is anti-hesitation. This is a real nigga celebration. This is a Don Block declaration. 59th and 5th Ave, granny house with vanilla wafers. This is the remedy to separation. Tupac of my generation. Blue pill in the fucking matrix. Red rose in the gray pavement. Young black nigga trapped and he can't change it. Know he a genius, he just can't claim it. Cause they left him no platform to explain it. He frustrated, so he get faded. Like deep down inside, he know you can't fail. How long should I stay dedicated? How long till opportunity meet preparation?
need some real nigga reparation. Or I run up in your bank just for recreation. Dedication, hard work, plus patience. And some more of my sacrifice, I'm done waiting. I'm done waiting, told you that I wasn't playing. Now you hear what I've been saying. Dedication. Dedication. Spent my whole life thinking out the box. Boxing homies 3-on-1, got DP, but I ain't dropped. Chirp on me, here I come. Spin around the block, they broke on me. Said I ran a stop sign, but that's a lie. I spent my whole life staring at the stage, playing Sega, daddy smoking Sherm, mama playing spades, catching papers. Grandma said I get some Jordans for my grades. That's my baby, when she died, my heart broke 100 ways. Spent my whole life trying to make it, trying to chase it. The cycle of a black man divided, trying to break it. You take a lost shit, don't cry about it, just embrace it. Minor setback for major comeback, that's my favorite. My nigga L said you do it on with Nip. K-Dot, he a better grip. I said he a man first, you hear the words out his lips. Without flourishing from the streets to black businesses. Level 4, y'all living, giving to false imprisonment. Listen close, my nigga, it's bigger than deuces and foes, my nigga. Since elementary, we close, my nigga, you're straight like that. I give you the game, go back to the turf and give it right back. For generations, we've been dealt bad hands with bad plans. Prove your dedication by hopping out Grand Am. I'm at the premiere, politicking with Top Nip and Snoop. Damn, clock watching the way we move. Dedication.
If it ain't congratulations, it look like hate. If it ain't congratulations, it look like what
Nip
say.
Hold up. Nah, this ain't entertainment. It's four niggas on a slave ship. These soldiers and spirituals I swam against them waves with. Ended up on shore to their amazement. I hope the example I set's not contagious. Lockers behind gates, but can't tame us. Used to be stay safe, now stay dangerous. Cause ain't no point playing defense, nigga. That's why I dove off the deep end, nigga, without a life jacket. Couple mils for the world, all my life cracking. Cook the books, bring it back, so it's no taxes. Royalties, publishing, plus our own masters. I'd be damned if I slave with some white crackers. I was mapping this out, I hit the heights backwards. Topping out the 85 and Reebok classics. Read a couple marathons just to get established. To make it happen, you got to have dedication. Hard work, plus patience, to some more of my sacrifice. I'm done waiting, I'm done waiting. Told you that I wasn't playing. Now you hear what I've been saying. Dedication. Dedication.
Ah! Ah!
Black power, black power, black love, family, dedication, self-determination, and all of that, as you heard from one of our great legends of today, the great Nipsey Hussle. As we open up this broadcast, we say black power, black love, black unity, black power, family. You're live here on New Black Panther Party Radio. Let the world know, as they already do, that the New Black Panther Party is on, but that is a participation that you can do. Let everybody know that the New Black Panther Party is broadcasting right now, live on the airwaves, as we broadcast from the belly of the beast, right here on day 475. It's been a long road as we continue these nightly broadcasts here on New Black Panther Party Radio. And throughout that time, as you join here to listen in to the ideology of the revolutionary, as we provide a platform here on New Black Panther Party Radio, powered by the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, under our national chairwoman, Sister Krista Muhammad. Every night you are live here with your host, National Chief of Staff, Brother Captive Sadiq, on this platform where you hear many of the great comrades of the New Black Panther Party who come with such great wisdom and such great knowledge, and the value of that. We can never disregard that. A platform where every night we take out the time in the introduction of this broadcast to hear from our great ancestors, those who we say our warrior ancestors, who we give thanks to, we give praise to, where forever praise is due, as we heard the wise words in the introduction of this broadcast from Queen Mother Moore. Queen Mother Moore, the great queen of the reparations movement, and as she talked about how the stand that they took in New Orleans at that time, when the pig said that they wouldn't let Marcus Garvey speak. We take time, every time in the beginning and in the introduction of this broadcast, to give thanks to our great warrior ancestors, those like who we heard from in the introduction of this broadcast tonight, like the great Kwame Ture, honorable ancestor we heard tonight from the great, I said, Queen Mother Moore. We also heard from Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad and the great legendary Malcolm X. Elhaj, Malik, Shabazz, we heard from our ancestors tonight. And we give thanks to our warrior ancestors. And being the original people of the Almighty Wise God Creator, we are thankful for being the original people of the earth. We have such a great and mighty legacy. As we broadcast here tonight, we let all of our beautiful black people know, family who are listening all over the world tonight, now it's time that we stand, as it is our topic tonight. As we're in the hour and the moment of dispensation, the time of the apocalypse, the hour of Armageddon, where the evil that has been done to the original people of the earth is coming to a head. We recognize and have made the bold statement that is backed by this platform, which extends into the work that is done in the battlefield of America, in this concrete jungle ran by savages. It is the on-the-ground work that is done in the new Black Panther Party by brave, bold black brothers and sisters in the hour of the apocalypse. Tonight, we want to discuss black nationhood, black law, and striking a blow for our freedom and independence, a mighty blow, as we have continued to strike many mighty blows for our freedom and independence, and our victory is assured for black nationhood and black law for black people. In our own black nation, as we demand reparations, you always hear this on this broadcast, as you hear on the ground field reports from brothers and sisters in the new Black Panther Party, the local chapters, and the great revolutionaries and freedom fighters who, by self-design, are taken under great leadership and moving in the way of the freedom fighter, those who we always open up this broadcast and give thanks to. Here on New Black Panther Party Radio, we ask the question, at a time so wicked, at a time of escalated warfare, where we will make the decisions, we will make the demands, we will set the codes and the laws for our black nationhood, and we will strike the blows for our freedom and independence. It is those who think out of the masses of our people, those few who think with this type of ideology, with this type of logic, who take the action up front, who hold the hard line in the front line. So we ask the question, what better time is it for you to join the new Black Panther Party for self-defense? What better time is it that today you make the move to get on the front line with those great revolutionaries, make the sacrifice to fight and strike the mighty blows for our freedom and independence? You can join the new Black Panther Party by visiting our national website, NBPP.org, NBPP.org. Bring your skills to the table. Everything we need to build our black nation is within our black nation. We already have the codes and ideologies, the work and workers. We have the engineers. We have the agriculturalists. We have the doctors and the scientists and the mathematicians. We have the great builders and educators of the black nation that is coming up out of the rearing of the head of the beast. And now more evil than ever, we live in a day of constant assault against our beautiful, beloved black people, those of the oppressed masses of black people, not only here in the United Snakes of Americlan, but throughout the African diaspora. We recognize that the struggle and the continuous striking of the blows that come with the war and the battling in the concrete jungle where it is ran by savages and it is the law of the beast and the law of the land is genocide and ethnic cleansing.
We recognize as freedom fighters. There have never been a place more evil than this place. There have never been a people more evil than the white man and the European and all of those who come from their wicked, you know, inception and the mentality of imperialism and so-called white supremacy. We recognize as freedom fighters that we are the people of the nation. We're not looking outside of ourselves for solutions to nationhood. We turn this hour as an hour of the apocalypse, and we call to the front of the battle all of those great black people here in the hells of North America who understand the necessity for freedom fighting that must be done, who understand preparing and have a survivalist mentality, have a mathematical, have a critical thinking mentality, being a person of critical observation and constant participation. We seek those of the warrior class, those of the soldiers class, those who come in the line to fight and strike the blows for our freedom and liberation. We appeal to you, black man. We appeal to you, black woman, that you would come and get on the front line. All of the issues that we see across this nation, time and time again, every time you turn around, there's a black man, a black woman, or one of our children at the butt of the front of a gun of a pig, or at the front of the needle of the medical apartheid system, or any system that we choose to identify, analyze as a system that is set up to continue the oppression and to try to stop the rise of black nationhood because of these crimes, because of the evidence that we continue to lay out, the evidence that is demonstrated by the on-the-ground work of the freedom fighter, evidence that is demonstrated through the work of the freedom fighter, like we see in the state of Louisiana. We see in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It's the new Black Panther Party, local chapter of the Baton Rouge local chapter, as they work with different groups and organizers to bring a real solution to the wicked paper conceptions of the 13th and 14th Amendment and the wicked design of the prison industrial complex, striking a mighty blow and always organizing and mobilizing to get on the ground and take on the beast. For wherever he may be, there's always evil and destruction. And wherever we are, we are able to defeat that. We are able to fight that because we have and will be victorious. In this war for our freedom and independence, we must be the ones that strike the mighty blows like our comrades in the new Black Panther Party in the Baton Rouge chapter, or our comrades in New Orleans, Louisiana, who, after responding and initiating a people's investigation of the cold-blooded murder of Brother Corey Garrison, shot in the back as he exited Hank's supermarket, food market, in New Orleans, Louisiana. He was shot in his back in front of his fiance and his children. These are crimes. When you examine one of them, maybe a fool who does not understand the true nature of the hour of the apocalypse and what it brought this time upon us, do not understand the danger of everyday people who we may think, but they have in their hearts wicked intentions, and they have a thirst for African blood, and they have a thirst for murdering and killing and in harm in any way that they can to continue the genocide of our people that would help succeed in their genetic survival. We understand these scientific principles, but it is not really complicated or complex. When we say science, we think of that. It is very simple. When you look at the case of Brother Corey Garrison, when you look at the case of Brother Ronald Green, when you look at the murder and assassination of Brother Alton Sterling and all of the black men, brothers like Trayvon Pellerin and black women who've been murdered in these wicked acts of genocide and ethnic cleansing, you find that when you begin to examine the terrain and you look at the layout of what is happening, and some say, look at the statistics and the numbers don't lie, well, it is the same in this case, in the case and the call and demand for reparations that would assist us in our having our own black nationhood. It is by self-design and the few of us that stand and are continuing to strike blows for our freedom and liberation that we have laid the foreground for this black nationhood. But goddamn it, crackers gotta pay for all of the criminal offenses that are being committed on an international level. As freedom fighters, we recognize, family, that what happens here in this nation, many times in the cities that we live in, where we have been taken from our indigenous lands, and we talk about this place too. We have been moved and shuffled in many directions throughout this nation and throughout time. We have found ourselves pushed into what can be called American ghettos, where the conditions of these communities are not up to par for what we would consider to be the black nation or black nationhood. We know those who are accountable for the constant distractions and the political politics and the gerrymandering and the redlining and the gentrifying of our communities. Those politicians who come every November, come around the time of election, and to try to curb the way of black nationhood, to try to silence the demands, not the cries, because a wimp is crying for freedom. A punk is crying for freedom. A chump, a slave, a downtrodden second-class citizen is crying for freedom. You will not hear cries for freedom and liberation from the freedom fighter, only demands. We make only demands. And as these demands are met to try to curb these demands, and in family it happens all the time, and it's happened all the time throughout the struggle for our freedom and independence. And we will continue to say that there has not been a time since we have been at war that with the devil, that there have not been resistance. Freedom fighting all the time. But when we make these demands, the demands for a proper education that teaches us the true nature of this devilish and decaying American society that has taught an education of a ideology of inferiority, an ideology that produces niggas, and more wickedly produces the white man's niggas, we understand that one of the greatest tragedies is this what we call a so-called education system, these food systems, these school systems. They are not to be accepted or to be up to par with what we consider black nationhood or education that is designed to empower the mind of the African genius. It has been an assault. Educationally. It is not the design of any of the luxuries that the white man has set up that will make us believe or will try to curb us, the same as they do with the election, is the same as they do with the luxury. In fact, it is the politicians, the politics, the politics. And they smile in your face and smile in our faces every November, October, September, whenever there is voting that must be done or needs to be done. We find that these politicians, the black ones included, they are vying for a position in a political seat, but it is a fixed position. It is a pawn's position. It is a servant or a jester's position as they go with the mythology that they can go inside of the system of the oppressor and change it from the inside. And they say if we change it from the inside, then we're going to come back on the outside to the field, niggas, and we're going to fix everything that has been going on in the house. It has never happened. In fact, there are more black politicians in this nation, and in fact, nations throughout the African diaspora, but right here, there are so many politicians and representatives who are black, who are of African descent, who look like us. Many of them try to attempt to talk like us and say, we're from where you're from. But we have seen time and time again that to curb the demand for black nationhood, they use the election process. We find that when it comes to the national elections, when they're asking us to choose a president a so-called incumbent, somebody who will sit in the seat of the so-called highest position of this wicked corporate regime and will use the powers given to them, powers that they have robbed from melanated nations of the earth, power that they have only gained through the robbing of resources from Africa and the robbing of us, the best resource, the human resources, powers that really don't exist, not when you have the force of black nationhood on your white ass, powers that really don't exist. But nonetheless, this so-called president takes these powers, and as you've seen, as the world's seen, it doesn't matter if it's a nigga in the White House. There was no black man in the White House. That was a nigga in the White House. So it doesn't matter if you have a house nigga in the White House, so-called black man in the White House. It doesn't matter. They will do as they know to do and have been told to do. These black politicians up to the top of the main seat of the crack house, they are not invested in what is in the best interest of black people in any way. And when it comes time, they will use different tactics and say certain things and spread different types of propaganda. But it is worse when they use the conditions that have been forced on us. As we have learned, law is not what is written on paper. It is what is natural to our design, which comes from the us being bounded and being willed and being drawn and driven by the great force of the Almighty Creator. We know what law is. We know of the natural law. We know of the balanced law and the order of law. And we know of the reciprocity. If law is laid for the land, then the law should be reciprocal to the people who will go in obedience to that law if it is based on their culture and their natural way of living. But what we have here in this nation are politics, politicians who use the law that have been laid for this land. They use the law that have been laid for this land, white politicians, black politicians, and all of them in between. They do this again to curb the future or attempt to curb the future of black nationhood. This is what they do. They go and they look for those who are the weakest of mentality and who share the same so-called inferiority complex as they do, spreading the lie that we must vote in some rigged and some picked so-called election. But what we know and what we have taught and what is true, and everybody knows this, it is not the people, so-called, who choose the president or any politician for that matter, but especially the so-called president. It is the Electoral College. What is the Electoral College? This is, again, this is a group of a secret society, a group of backdoor crackers, cold-blooded, cold-hearted reptilian crackers who sit and they have gained resources from inheritance and being heirs of brutal white genocidal maniacs, their parents, their grandparents. These are those who fund the wars all around the nation. It is in the benefit of the imperialist who is the president, and it is never and have never been in the benefit of us, of our people, of Africans, who becomes the president. But they need to trick you, to trick us, to pull something over us, a thin veil, as it is, that we would not see, that those who are chosen, that they are not elected, that they are selected and not elected, and they are selected through the so-called prestigious universities of America, like Yale and Harvard and Johns Hopkins, and they are raised to be put in these positions, that it means to be just upfront about it. Quit lying to the children and telling them one day you're going to be the president of America. It is the same as telling them Santa's coming for Christmas. We have to face straight facts. There is nobody that is from where we are from that have been oppressed like we have oppressed, that have not sold out, that have not given in, who ever become a president of America. But we don't worry about that. We worry about the diplomat, the stateswomen, and the statesmen who will uphold the black law of our black nation as we go for black nationhood. We have to stop the lies.
We have to stop the lies. We have to face straight facts and straight reality. To allow for a secret society of crackers, a secret society of European crackers and Jew crackers and Arab crackers and Asian crackers who sit and buy what is in the best interest of them having their dirty hands and the resources of Africa and the best human resource of the earth, which is the African and the descendants of the continent. They agree on this. They agree on the continued oppression of the African. They agree on the continued oppression, and they all buy in, pay in, and profit from different systems that are used here in America. The prison industrial complex, the so-called public health services of this wicked criminal regime. Black nationhood then cannot be tied into anything that has one or anything to do with the enemy. And the enemy may look like us, but it in fact is not what someone looks like or what they say. It is their deed. And if they are carrying out the actions that are similar to or relative to the actions of the enemy, then in fact there are opposition. There are opposition for when the blows must be dealt for our freedom and independence. There are opposition because they will be opposed to us having complete separation, as they believe that they have some kind of stake here in this nation. But that is, has been proven. There is no stake here. There is only demand that have to be made by those who claim the great divine principles of nationhood, who claim the great divine principles of order and law that is black law, that is not a law, that is based on the attempted destruction of black civilization. We won't have a law like this in our nation. Law is very similar to culture. In fact, law comes from culture because it is the culture of the people that is really the law of the land. It is through the understanding of the origin of that people, of that land. No matter where you go, every land has a story of how they got there. Some stories may be a little far out. We know whenever you talk about the European and how he got into Germany and how he got into France and how he got into Australia and all these places, well, the story is not so much as a story, but a brutal example of the most wicked genocide and acts of genocide that continue today that have ever been recorded in the Isles of Time. There is no secret to why the cracker is where or what they are doing at any time. There are criminals. And they are the oppressors of the whole entire African diaspora. There are many, in fact, who go along with them because they feel like they have a stake. They feel like they have a chance. They feel like they need to be recognized. They need to have the approval of the white man, and they walk amongst us today. They are not in tune or ready to move on black nationhood. But in fact, those are the warrior class. We are, and we understand that law is the culture of the people, and the culture is law. Culture is developed through the experience of a people. It is developed relative to what people have been through with one another. Culture identifies a people. Culture brings language and writing and diversity to a people and brings unity to a people, and of course, it brings law, because of course, you have to have writing and philosophy and science and mathematics to have law. And in fact, then, if you look at the historical truth of the entire world as we know it and as we live in it throughout time and time that have been recorded for us to see, you will find that the originators and those who are the makers of all civilization are the African. And in fact, we introduced the first law, the first order, and the first way to check many different elements of civilization and society that may come about through the structure of that society. We understand this. This is principal science to us, and we understand that law and culture are one and the same. And law is expressed through the culture of a people. The law that we are witnessing here in this nation, and of course, not only are we witnesses, but unfortunately, many times we are made victims. So we are witnesses and victims to our own assaults here in this nation, to the criminal activity of this criminal regime.
And what we have found is that they don't just use politics and propaganda to try to curb black nationhood, but they also use brutality. It is the pig, the police. It is the courts and the media and the constant patrolling and surveilling and criminalizing of black communities and the different codes that are used to describe us in the international mold of the world. We find ourselves being put on the bottom, but what we know that is true is that we are the greatest of people. So we see the lies of the biggest lies that are told about us are exposed through our knowing of our legacy, our knowing of being the originators and the creators of all civilization. We know then that there could be no possible way for us to have an inferiority, so-called inferiority complex. There's no way or no reason for us to have any fear for this wicked criminal regime. Once we understand our legacy and have a knowledge of self, we understand black nationhood. We understand that law must be defined by the culture, and this nation is not our culture. It is not our culture to be oppressed and be servants, whether it be voluntary or involuntary. It is not our purpose to be subjects under a criminal regime who now for 500 years have raped and robbed the entire world, but have raped and robbed the original people of the world. It's for these crimes that we see this hour that is up on this nation, where in fact it is the day of Armageddon, when in fact it is the apocalypse, where you have seen the damn purge, not in your movie theaters, but in the streets of America, where the pigs are going through our communities and purging black people. But you are entertained, we are entertained by the mythology of it, but it is happening in reality in our community. Black nationhood is a must that we understand and how and begin to actualize and manufacture black law. We have to understand that we are a people of a mighty culture. We have many to choose from. Culture in general defines the African. It defines the African genius. Cultivate and culture are very similar in etymology. The way that you speak about, you say culture, you say cultivate. To cultivate, to plant a seed, to grow something represents the nature of culture. It is through the growing and the expanding, through the rising up of a nation, through the defense of that nation. No nation has ever become a great nation without a military and a damn good military. No nation have ever become a nation without being able to defend themselves from the assault of other nations who wish to see their nationhood and their sovereignty not up to par with their culture, which is their law, which is the law of the land. And for wherever that land may be, we find that we were there first, we are there now, and we will be there last. There's no doubt about it. We don't have a doubt about it. We understand our durability through millions and billions of years of being on this planet. And it has been defined and have been a definite truth. Many of our great teachers, like Dr. Ivan Van Sertima and many great black scholars who have come amongst us. We understand that this law is a law of a brutal blood law, a law where bodies have numbers on them. Bodies have a worth that is linked to the wicked corporate regime and the wicked blood-soaked corporate criminals and corporate mafiosos of America. They have built a financial backbone on the bloodshed of our people, of us. We can't then say that it's only economics then, and they say, well, if it's an economic system, we must use economics. Yes, this is true. But they, again, it is not economics that keeps the African in the condition. It is not education that keeps. We're not saying that it did not put them there. It is not the medical thing, it is force, it is guns, it is lynchings, it is whippings, it is you being a brutal, savage beast, as their nature, you know, is designed for them to be. You can write something down on a piece of paper, but who's to say that anybody will go for that? Some will shake your hand in the minute that they find a way to influence someone in the nation or in the Congress or in the parliament, They will go in and infiltrate, as we have seen time and time again, as there has been constant, and today we even see an escalation of those who attempt to infiltrate and be subversive and switch the image of the Black Revolution into the image of the Negro Revolution. We have seen this time and time again. We see these acts done by people who claim to be operating under a Black nationhood, a code of conduct, a warrior's code, but they are not. Anytime that you find a nation or a people who are abiding to become a nation of oppressed people anywhere throughout time, if you have found that their downfall, if they have attempted and they have failed, their downfall has been infiltration by the oppressor. So then why would anyone then, if you think about it logically, family, why then would anyone allow for the enemy openly to work amongst them? So we see then that the contradiction must be raised. Whenever we see anybody who says Black power, or who says freedom for Black people, or free the land, or who says woo, or who says whatever we know, because we speak the language of the people. But it doesn't matter how somebody speaks. So the white man has been pulling that trick over us for some time now. It doesn't matter how someone speaks. It doesn't matter someone's position, ranking, or ideology. It is in fact what they demonstrate. And their deed will show their ideology, because you can say that you think or believe one way, but in fact our actions will demonstrate the complete opposite. And contradiction must be raised. In these cases, contradictions must be raised at the assault of our people, and when those who come about to try to do or claim that they want to do good, they must be examined. Because we know that we're dealing in a time where there is an escalation on the covert operations of those who wish to infiltrate and try to curb our rising into Black nationhood. We're not a foolish people. Though we have been fooled many times, we're not being fooled today. We have too many great freedom fighters who walk amongst us today who are fighting for the liberation and salvation of Black people. We understand all of the scientific principles and educational doctrines and all of this. But we also understand, again, that no people who are oppressed has ever thrown a book at the damn enemy when the enemy comes with a whole armory, tanks and weapons and all of that. Nobody has ever thrown a vote at somebody or smacked somebody upside the head with a vote to get up off of their men or get up off of their women or get up off of their children or raise up off of us. It has never happened. It has been the use of military. It has been the use of self-defense. It has been the understanding of military strategy, critical thinking, and understanding of politics based on the nationalism of the people and the will and the integrity that we gain through a knowledge of self to nationalize ourselves, which means to separate ourselves out of this criminal regime, separating ourselves. We have many different solutions to a widespread problem, but all of them must work together. But in fact, it is the people who really have the power and the capability to carry on the great missions, the divine great missions of freedom and liberation for those that strike, that are continuing to strike a blow for our freedom and liberation. We want to hear from you tonight on New Black Panther Party Radio. Press the number one. We want to get you live here tonight. We want to know what is going on in the communities where we see these wicked crimes. We're able to identify those who commit these crimes as we continue to open up on the fact that this is the time of the hour of the apocalypse. We must be able to get our message out. We must be able to have proper propaganda. We must be able to do this. This is necessary. We must be able to get our message out to the people. Not only that, but it is one thing to talk about it, but the message has to be demonstrated through deed. So there must be constant action throughout the cities and communities and the parishes and counties and boroughs and hoods and American ghettos all across this nation. There must be constant action and activity and participation on the battlefields of America.
This is a place where there's a beastly place, where sane, good-hearted, intelligent black people are constantly attacked, but they're wanting to have some type of moral integrity and to be a black nation with a black law and want to continue to have the action that is necessary. And we see our freedom and independence in this lifetime. We're not putting this hundreds of years into perspective. We're confident enough in our holding the hard line and the front line. That's why we appeal to the masses and saying that we call you to the roll to join the new Black Panther Party for self-defense. We are always doing our best to use different channels to get our message out to black people, to get our message out so that we hear and we are able to listen to what is happening from a raw truth perspective as it is happening right now in this nation. We ask that you visit our official YouTube page. Go to YouTube, find the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, find our logo, subscribe, share, and comment on all of the videos of activity that you see on the new Black Panther Party's official YouTube page. Join the new Black Panther Party at mbpp.org, as well as, you know, look at the great work that have been done by the new Black Panther Party Black Cross storms that continue to come every year in the southern region, in the Gulf region, and all over this nation. We must have a humanitarian response that matches the level of intensity that causes the trauma on our communities during this time. Look at the great work that is being done by the new Black Panther Party Black Cross. You can visit that website, mbppblackcross.com. As well as that, we say send a donation to the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, $ Black Power Dollar. We continue in this broadcast tonight as we push the political education that is necessary to see that we continue to strike the blows for our freedom and independence. Pressing number one to go live on tonight's broadcast, family. Stay locked in. Stay tuned in with us. We'll continue this broadcast, day 475. New Black Panther Party Radio, as we discuss black nationhood, black law, and striking a blow for our freedom and independence, family.
A man to be paid back. Got to get back. I need some get back.
During Reconstruction, we held every major position you can imagine. From the 41st Congress to the 56th Congress, we were involved in every one of the congressional systems or the congressional process from that 41st to the 56th. We were mayors. We were judges. We were sheriffs. We were senators. We were congressmen. And even B.K. Bruce of the Treasury Department, a black man, had his signature on all paper money in the United States of America. So it made no difference that a redneck camel breath, snuff-dipping, tobacco-chewing, straw-chewing, beer-belly, overall-wearing, Peckerwood, hated niggas, every cracker in order to buy anything had to spend money with a black man's signature during Reconstruction on the paper money. But when white folks got tired of niggas being in political positions of authority over them, they lined up armed white men at the door of Congress. Bishop Henry McNeil Turner of the AME Church, armed guards stood at the door of Congress and would not permit Bishop Henry McNeil Turner, a black elected public official and a congressman, to enter the halls of Congress. They stood at the door of the mayor's office. They lined armed guards up at the sheriff's office, a black sheriff elected to be the sheriff of the town. But crackers stood at the door with their guns and said, no more nigger sheriffs in this town. And brought another big beer-bellied Peckerwood with overalls on, who was the new sheriff, Big Bubba. And they said, nigger, Big Bubba's the sheriff here in town now. No more nigger sheriff. And if you don't get away from here, we're going to arrest you. judges were unseated.
That's right.
Senators were unseated. And Knight Riders, Ku Klux Klan, and disgruntled, angry, egotistical white men decided that it was a period that had to be stopped, that blacks were infringing on the rights of white people. Does it sound familiar? They're talking about the angry white male today. And under charges of exaggerated corruption, exaggerated corruption in politics, the poor black man was swept from political positions. It looked like a period of political prosperity. But when the white man got tired of black people being in these political positions, he drove us from these political positions. But you're running all over the place, ready to vote. Some of you with your dreadlocks, you're ready to vote. Some of you with an African name as long as North Avenue, you're ready to vote, trying to decide which cracker you're going to vote for. And it's not even the popular vote that determines who the president is going to be. It's the Electoral College vote that determines who the president is going to be. And you're going to go behind a glorified shower curtain pulling a lever, trying to decide which one of these suckers you're going to vote for. It's impossible to defend black law and not break white law. Impossible to defend white law and not break black law. The two are diametrically opposed, 180 degrees different from each other. You cannot seek freedom and independence for black people and talk integration talk with white folks. You cannot talk out of both sides of your mouth. It's impossible to do that. You cannot say we must get away from the color game and the skin game when you are black and your color and your melanin is what marks you and hooks you with the universe and links you with the spiritual, divine, universal, and cosmological order of things. You cannot say we must get away from that and say that you are defending divine law and defending black law.
Right.
We, brothers and sisters, must understand the very nature in which God has created us. We are righteous by nature. We are other than righteous by circumstance. It is 400 years in specific and 6,000 years in general under the white man that has put us in this condition. 400 years in specific and 6,000 years in general that causes us to break black law today. You can't say you're defending black law when you will eat anything. Put anything in your body. Eat whatever you saw the peckerwood eat. Ham hocks might be good for the white man. Pork chops and pig feet might be good for the white man. A whole lot of meat might be good for the white man. But it's not good for your delicate system. You cannot defend white law and not offend and break black law at the same time. Remember, your law is not what is written on paper, but it is the very nature in which God has created you. And I'm happy that they asked me to say a word, at least, on black law. Let's go further with the subject that was given to me here tonight, dealing with revolution and dealing with war coming in America, and what the topic theme is to reflect and focus on: guidelines for war. Make no mistake about it, brothers and sisters, war is coming in this country.
Yes, sir.
War is coming in this country on an escalated level. We're already in a war. We may not be at war, but we're definitely in a war. And the white man is waiting. waging warfare against us in every field, in every discipline, on every plane.
Yes,
it makes no difference if you're a basketball nigga. The white man is waging war against basketball niggas. A football one, a baseball one, an actor on the big movie screen or the small television screen. It makes no difference. The white man is waging war.
Yes,
if you work as a janitor or a maintenance engineer on the job, the white man is waging war. He's cutting the food stamps. He's waging war. He's cutting affirmative action. He's waging war. Section 8 entitlement. He's waging war. The attack on the black student who cannot finance an education, the white man is waging war. He is working to maintain white supremacy. And all over America, they are now beginning to kill us at an alarming rate. Shoot us 25 times, shoot us 10 times, shoot us 8 times. Apply the chokehold, and then when the cop, after witnesses have seen it all over the community, when the cop goes before the courts of the criminal justice system of white America, they let him go scot-free. The white man is waging
right.
War.
Right.
Mark Furman said, the policeman, meaning the white policeman, is God on the streets with his gun and with his badge. He is judge, jury, and executioner right on the spot.
Right.
But the question is, what is the black man doing? What is the black woman doing? What are we doing to defend black law? To defend our survival here on this planet? You can read everything you want to read, and we must read. You can study everything you want to study, and we must study. You can build and develop everything that you want to build and develop. But unless you have an army to defend what you're building and developing, an enemy or a savage beast will take what you build. You must have a way to protect it. And so we must build a black liberation army.
Black Power family back here live with us on New Black Panther Party Radio. And as we heard from our great ancestor, Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, of course, you are live with the Black Liberation Army, the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, under our national chairwoman, Sister Krista Muhammad. We're on this broadcast tonight on day 475. Of course, we have stated and made the statement, have backed this with the evidence that highlight our demand for reparations and our demand for the persecution and prosecution of the criminals who continue to commit genocide and ethnic cleansing against us. We know that this is the time of the apocalypse. Tonight we discuss black nationhood, black law, and the continuing striking of the blows for our liberation and our salvation and our freedom. Family, we want to hear from you tonight. Press the number one right here on New Black Panther Party Radio. Visit our national website. Join the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, nbpp.org. Look, family, we're talking about black nationhood. We're talking about black law. We have to always give thanks. Even as we reopen up, we have to always give thanks to our great mighty warrior ancestors, and we are thankful to the creator of being the original people. We understand what a black nation looks like because we have identified throughout time that we have been able to balance the forces of nature on the earth, and it has been relevant to how we balance the nations of the earth. And when we were, as we begin to gain back in control of the nations of the earth, their moral conduct and their sovereignty, we didn't have all this madness and savagery going on. We are supposed, based on the fact that we're taxed in this nation, as if we are belonging to this nation, when we do not, we have been made subjects to this nation through amendments like the 13th and the 14th Amendment. We have been considered less than human by the humanoid, the caucasoid, and the mutinoid. We do not have the right to equal protection of law
in this nation. So we must separate into black nationhood. We understand that law in this nation is lawlessness. It's murder, it's rape, it's genocide, it's anarchy, it's molestation, it's killing. It's how much, how many times can you fool the poor oppressed masses of our people that they would gain some type of hold over us and try to curb our black nationhood. We are not given the right to the equal protection of law in this nation. So there must be a black law that we develop through our actions, and we demonstrate what it means to have black nationhood. We will have our freedom and our liberation. When we have a home here in the communities of America, as shown around the world, as America is a place of freedom and independence, but that is not true. We have been the victims of the lie of the freedom and independence of America. They passed themselves off with the slogan of the land of the home of the free and the home of the brave. But no real free man or black woman have ever come out of the hells of North America with all of himself or herself intact, as we are constantly assaulted by the wicked criminal enterprise of the American government. We find that when we are in these communities, we are pushed, we are driven through force, through murder, through gentrification, through gerrymandering, through redlining, through forcing black people in a position of modern day apartheid and modern day Jim Crow and genocide. We are pushed into these American ghettos. And when we have a home, many times the home is not up to par for the living conditions of a human being. This is the reality. Many times the landlords of the residents, they don't care or have compassion, even if they look like us many times. They don't care or have compassion. They are holding a class pawn over the head of the poor oppressed masses of our people. We deserve the right to homes that are fit for decent shelter of human beings, and that is who we are, the original human being. We must develop through agriculture and the understanding of real estate, the understanding of infrastructure building, whether it is being an engineer, or whether it is being someone who plans the engineering or does logistics on the engineering, a bridge builder who specializes in building bridges and roadways. We need all that because our communities have been pushed into positions that can be identified as modern-day American ghettos. And while the so-called European, these damn devils, have been brought out of their measly little time, you know, little time-constrained so-called Holocaust, when it has been proven time and time again that the Holocaust, and it has lasted now for 500 years. We are in a Holocaust, and we are in the American ghettos here. And many times we feel that if we want to succeed, that we leave our communities. When we say here in the new Black Panther Party, don't leave your communities. Build your communities. Develop entrepreneurship that will show and prove the rising up of the condition of these communities that we live in. We did not ask for this. But as long as we are here, we have to have a viable and a comfortable place to live and raise children and families who are not plagued by the ailments of a downtrodden community. We deserve the right to our own home. And it is up to a home that are fit for shelter human beings. And it is up to us to design this as we go on toward black nationhood. It is further in this country that we do not have the right, although it is our natural right, to the lands of all of the lands around the earth, and especially here in the United States of America. It has been going on for a long time. It was the black codes and the black laws that would bar people from selling real estate to black folks here in this nation. And although it may not be written policy today, it is practice still today. But if you are in that business of buying land and real estate planning, then you must align yourselves with those of the warrior class who are building this black nation and going toward black nationhood. We deserve to have land that is sufficient for earning livelihood for ourselves and our families, not just the land that we have been forced into and pushed into these little corners And then when they talk about us statistically or politically or in any other way, they talk about us as if we are hotel roaches, and they do not include us in their whatever they have going on. It is only when they want to tax. It is only when they want to use and abuse and economically and in every other way exploit the African here in this nation. That is the only time that we see any influence or any communication between the criminal regime of this nation and our black people in this nation. During times of trouble, during times of great disaster, during times of minor disaster, hell, even if there is no disaster, we are currently faced by the conditions of this nation. We deserve to have the right in times of trouble, in times of disaster, no matter the magnitude of that disaster. We deserve to have aid, and not just any aid, but the aid of our community, the aid of our family. We have the natural God-given right to protect ourselves by any means necessary, to build self-determination by any means necessary. And in this nation, we see that no matter what kind of disaster it is, we see that the enemy will take that disaster and manipulate the aspects of that disaster so that it is more worse for our people. Rerouting water during hurricanes. The WHO and the UN coming clean about the cholera outbreak in Haiti some years ago and how they infected the water with sewage and caused the cholera outbreak. No charges have been pressed on representatives of the World Health Organization, WHO, or any representatives of the United Nations at all. But in fact, we still see the effects of this cholera outbreak. What are we saying, family? They're creating many times the disasters. There have been no charges pressed on those who went into the Sudan and gave fake, wicked, toxic, poison vaccines, saying that they were for Ebola. And today we see, just as early as September of 2020, we see polio outbreak. It was a vaccine for polio. I'm correcting myself. It was not an Ebola vaccine. It was a polio vaccine that was supposed to help with polio, but did not, and it actually caused a polio outbreak. This is early as September of 2020 in the Sudan. They create times of trouble. They create times of disaster. They create destruction. They create attacks even on themselves so that they will try to use us to carry the brunt of their evil and self-destruction. Whenever our families are murdered in this nation, there are lies that are told, there are cover-ups that are withheld by state representatives and agents of this criminal enterprise and so-called American law. These so-called structures are really criminal structures. It is more appropriate for the basis of critical analysis of the times and the time that we face, that we recognize America as a mafia, as a gang of thugs, of economic financing devils who rob us of our human and natural resources and use that to rob other Africans of their human and natural resources. We have the natural God-given right to redress any of the grievances that we have, especially due to the fact, not just backed by the natural law of the Almighty, wise God creator and us being the original people of the earth, but also due to the fact that we did not ask to be here, and we sure as hell didn't ask for these conditions. We did not ask to be subjects of this nation, further incarcerated in the prison industrial complex, modern day chattel slavery, and for that, we have the natural right to redress the grievances of pigs when they're murdering our brothers and sisters in this nation. But what we find is, though it may be somewhat falsely written in the paper, wicked paper laws of the white man to redress the grievances and the protests, we find that when black people stand up and demonstrate, our young black brave generation coming up today, they're tased. They are pepper sprayed. They are maced. They are dragged out of vehicles. They are beat down to the ground. And we find the same thing occur during the so-called civil rights movement. It doesn't matter how we look at it. You cannot be nonviolent with the beast. Cannot be nonviolent with the beast. So when we are redressing, when we are demonstrating, we must do it in a military fashion. Be armed and have self-defense and protect ourselves and know how to use whatever protection we bring to the battlefield. We do not see in the kangaroo courts of this nation the right to a fair trial by our peer groups. They set punishments greater than the offense that was committed, and the offense that was committed is only actions of design, of white design, that initiate in us through manipulation and cultural coercion, that we would do things and carry out actions that we would not normally carry out, but due to the fact that we face trauma in this criminal regime, in fact, we find that we carry out these actions. These actions are defined as crime. We find that what is holding crime up, what is holding this so-called crime up, is poverty. It is the position of poverty and the taking away and the making difficult and almost impossible to sustain oneself if you are black in this nation and in many nations across the African diaspora. We say that these positions force communities in this nation and elsewhere to be considered police communities, police states. And when they are considered this, then we see the constant destruction and many times the escalation of constant destruction and murder at the hands of these pigs. And when they are not brought to trial, but when we are brought to trial, it is fast, it is quick, and they lock us up for years upon years and decades, even based on things that we're doing in the line of our survival. And although we make no excuses for our actions, we know where the actions have originated. We find that in this nation, we do not see a effort from the enemy, nor should we believe that there should be, to preserve the black family. So that, as every other issue, lies on us. We must preserve our families and our communities. These are the tenets of black nationhood, that we preserve our communities, that we have the equal right to protection of law, fundamental rights of the African people, that we have right to aid in times of trouble and natural disaster. This must come with the developing and the sustaining the sovereignty of our black families and our communities. For it is education, and it is culture that is derived from education, and it is law that is coming out of culture, and understanding of this breeds a moral education that covers moral and good manners, family rights and responsibilities. How do we go into kinship and brotherhood and sisterhood with one another? Social organizations, neighborhoods and boundaries, farming and marketing and building, it all comes from education that should be based on a culture that is relative to the experience of those people. And we know that in this land, we do not find these tenets of law. Therefore, if we do not find them, and it is not that we have not been looking, it is due to the blatant not carrying out of the deed that could be carried out that would have seen our people in a better condition. We recognize that it has never been the intention of the enemy to do so, so it falls on us. We in this nation, we see that time and time again our youth in this generation have been made to be devoid of their skills and ability, but we say that the youth of this nation, our black nation, are the future of a generation, and we know that many times it is the youth who holds the front line of the brave line of the hard line for the demonstration, the demand for black justice and black law and black nationhood. We inspire our youth, and we say that in our black nationhood, we should instill the right and the value to develop the youth's ability and to develop their skills, that we have our own nation. When it comes down to us protecting ourselves, we have the right by a natural ordainment of the almighty wise God creator to defend ourselves, even if it means that we have got to get down and kick some ass in self-defense, even if it means that we have got to do whatever we have to do to protect our families. We have that right, and it does not need to be amended or given to us by this wicked criminal regime. There's never been a place in this nation that black people can see themselves rise into a position over inside of the state or intermingled with the state that they will be able to give any justice or nationhood or real, true politics of black nationhood to black people. Therefore, we believe that it must be done within the communities of our people. And finally, we believe that we have the right. We know that there, as we move toward black nationhood, we are developing the right, that that which we have faced collectively, we deal with collectively. Therefore, we share the benefit as a community. We speak of collective work and responsibility. These are the tenets of black nationhood as written in The Destruction of Black Civilization by Baba Chancellor Williams. The book, The Destruction of Black Civilization, Great Issues of a Race from 4500 BC to 2000 AD. It is a great teaching point. It is a great wealth of information that powers the magnitude of our black nationhood. We thank you for joining us on New Black Panther Party Radio. I see that we have our comrade, Brother Emmanuel, on the line. I know you've been listening, brother. I wanted to definitely give those tenets from our great ancestor, Baba Chancellor Williams. Can you hear me, brother? Black power.
Black power, brother.
Yes, sir. Black power, Brother Emmanuel.
Giving all honor to those who came in the great line of divine before us, those after us, and most importantly, those that are here now. This is your brother, Emmanuel, and as our general taught us, I won't be long, but I will be strong. I thank everyone who joined the broadcast on tonight and all the many nights that have been doing exactly what you're supposed to do, which is feed yourself and turn around and feed it to your families. I, on today, owe my family an apology. All my brothers and sisters, comrades, I and my queen have been going through some things, and it is not everyone's business, but it is my family's business. And so I'm not going to hide anything from y'all. Some might have seen it. Some might not have seen it. But I'm not going to hide anything. And this world has caused us to go against each other. And many of us have been fighting for a chance to stay together, fighting against all the oppressors' tools and tactics he's used to separate us. In some of our relationships, we succeed and we get through. And some of us, we fail at the hands of the oppressor. And so many times we try to be a proper example for those that are coming up under us, because that is our job. And I myself, I failed at being a proper example for my brothers and sisters. And so I'm going to step myself down, because that was not the proper thing that we are supposed to do with our mates. We're never supposed to give up. We're never supposed to give in. We're never supposed to allow the tactics that these enemies have given us to separate us. But the reality of life is that it happens sometimes, and that these bodies that we are in, they are still bound to the laws of nature. You are still a human, and so you will go through the emotions of a human. And in going through that emotion, it is your job to discipline yourself. And I and many of my comrades teach that, and we stand on that, and we live by that. And so it is only appropriate for at those times when we seem to stumble, to not hide it, but to bring it out. For my children's mother is the greatest joy, the greatest gift I can have. My assignment is to uplift her. And the world has beat her down, and I've attempted to uplift her. But the world's pressures are very, very, very hard. And so we entertain the world's pressures for all of the world to see. And so that's why it is only appropriate for me to come to the world of my people, and apologize for the way I responded to my queen. Tell my other brothers that you must have extreme love and patience, it's going to get very, very hard. But you cannot give up. You must see her as you see your child. You must understand her more than she understands herself. And when the world fails her, you must be willing to accept. Because you are her everything. If she doesn't succeed, it's because you failed her. And if she succeeds, it's because you helped her to succeed. And I'm not ashamed to take on the failures of this life as I take on the accomplishments of this life. But I have to tell my brothers, it's going to get hard. Your children, you're bonded to them, you love them. There are many things on this planet that you will be bonded to and love. And you will try many ways to accomplish the greatness that they are supposed to accomplish. But everybody is not going to make it. Some of those who we wish to make it, we will have to leave behind. Some of those who are the most important pieces of the puzzle just won't fit in the puzzle. And it is not our fault that life is like it is, but it is our fault how we respond to it. And so I implore my brothers and sisters to not give up, to keep fighting for each other, and to be cognitive of everybody that is watching, and to control your momentary feelings. Someone is watching at all times, and we are the vanguards of our people, and we have to stay disciplined. There's no excuse. And the most important thing is we have to be willing to recognize that in ourselves so that our other people will recognize it in themselves and fix it. Know we've all had those situations where we've gotten into arguments and we said things in those moments, things that the world has taught us to say, the back and forth, that I don't want to be wrong. I don't want to be looked on wrong. And so we will exchange. But in those exchanges, they do harm to others that are watching. Because others look up to us to be the supreme control, the supreme discipline. We are to be in the likeness, the image of our Father at all times. And so I'll tell my brothers and sisters that I failed for but a moment. That moment is very important. So I apologize to my comrades. Letting you down. We'll work toward the future. Keep our discipline more consistent. But I cannot be a hypocrite. And it hurts me that I have to battle this battle that this enemy has put on us. And in that battle, it's going to be many scars. But I shouldn't have done that. And allow the world to see me handle our greatest resource in that fashion after knowing better. So I tell y'all, catch yourselves. Constantly be on guard, because it's going to come after us more than anybody. Seek to destroy our families. Seek to destroy ourselves. Don't let it happen. Be aware. It is our time, the restoration, and to restore something. We are going to have to acknowledge what we break and acknowledge that we do break things in the course of restoring them. And no, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be fun. It's going to make some of us want to give up. But don't. Continue to press forward. Because even in what they call our bad times, that's edification for us for our good times. So,
well, we thank you, Brother Emmanuel. I mean, it takes a lot of, it takes a very humble person to admit or to even analyze or to even think in any part of your brain that you've done something that goes against what you stand on. I always say, you know, and I've learned it, you know, being a young brother coming in, like, you know, it's one thing to say I'm a black nationalist, I'm a freedom fighter. It's another thing to stand on that. When people, and like you say, situations come, you know, that will try to force you off that platform, how do you stand on it? And if you slip up a little bit, how do you take accountability for that? So it's very inspiring to hear you, you know, take accountability for something that you feel, you know, not no one saying, oh, you need to take accountability, but you feeling that you must do that. And that's very inspiring. And we thank you, because every time you get on here, you put your heart on the line. You put your heart on your sleeve, you know, and the world, like you say, the black world, the black nation is able to see you as we see you, as our comrade, as our brother, as our family. You know, even talking about black nationhood, you know, we talk about the restoration of the black family and the rise of the black family and how we are, you know, it just, you know, at any rate, our issues that we face in this nation are so massive and widespread, you know, and there's so many distractions. When we can take the time to do that self-knowledge, self-work, to work on our self-worth, it makes these widespread issues come right in front of you. You no longer have to, you know, look around and ask the question, who's doing what? What should I do? Let's examine brothers and sisters like who come on this broadcast, brothers like Brother Emmanuel, you know, who we know Emmanuel's story. But why do we identify with it? Because he's us. He's never done anything to go against the people. You know, he's never assaulted the people. You know, he's never done anything. You know, he's always been what he claims to be, a revolutionary. You know, so this that we face as a family, as individual families, and as the greater African family, let us understand that my problems are yours, your problems are mine, and our problems are ours together. It's like I said, brother, when I was segueing to you, it's that collective work and responsibility. I don't even think that you can even begin to talk about nationhood if we don't talk about the collective work and responsibility and the sovereignty of our homes, the sovereignty of our communities, which will extend into the sovereignty of our nations. And we thank you, brother, for always getting on here and delivering such powerful, heartfelt, soulful messages, because, man, we need it. We need it in a time where we are living in the hour of the apocalypse. And we say this to everybody listening to this broadcast, you have something to do. I mean, participation, observation, let's make it work. There is something for everybody to do. Find your niche. What is your natural African ability? What do you bring to the table? Bring it to the table. Join the new Black Panther Party, mbpp.org. Let us take that same mentality that we give thanks and we give praise to from our great and mighty warrior ancestors to move ourselves into freedom and liberation. Let us identify and understand our capabilities as we move on to our Black nationhood. This has been a very powerful broadcast. We want to thank all the comrades in the new Black Panther Party, the new Black Panther Party National Central Committee, tuning to this broadcast every night, 718-664-6398, New Black Panther Party Radio. Visit our national website as well. Subscribe, like, share, and comment to our YouTube page. Officially type in the New Black Panther Party. Find our logo. Share the content on our YouTube page. You can send a financial donation to the New Black Panther Party on Cash App, $BlackPowerDollar. We love you, family. We love you so much. And we want to tell everybody, you say, rise up, mighty Black nation. You can do what you will. We are a people. of beautiful black people. We are a nation. We are at war. And this is your war law, your black room. You know, this is the place where you can get all of the information that is relevant to our freedom and liberation. Black Power family.
RBGs. You know what I mean? It's war. Yo, stick. I mean, shit be real on
war.
The block. Pigs be out there, occupied army. RBGs, it's a takeover, not a makeover. Yeah. The cops stop you just because you black, that's war. Run you through the system for your prince, that's war. When they call my hood a drug zone, that's war. Slumlord charging you for rent, that's war. Why they so rich and we poor, that's war. If you young and black, you sell crack, that's war. The White House is the rock house, that's war. George Bush coming out his mouth, that's war. Chilling on the corner with your gang, that's war. Popo do the same damn thing, that's war. When they murdered Amadou Diallo, that's war. Marching in the streets is a strategy of war. Knowing self-defense is a strategy of war. Soldiers try to link with other soldiers in the war. Revolutionaries got to know the art of war. War, what about hip-hop? Use that. Matter of fact, fuck a rap battle. What about a gap battle? Let's take it to the beast and see which cat tattle. Is it Kits versus Beans or P versus Hov? What about y'all real niggas against the 5-0? This is M1, DPs, don't you forget. Cause you could talk, 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 but that don't mean shit. I ain't gotta pop your top to see where your brains went. This rap shit is way bigger than entertainment. It's the people versus the people.